Gleanings from the Psalms. Chapter 15. Psalm 8, The Value of Praise. Praise, the strongest argument. According to the scriptures, the strongest argument against all opposition to the truth of God is praise. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth! Who has set your glory upon the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings have you established strength, because of your adversaries, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. From the mouths of babes and sucklings comes a power that is sufficient to stop the mouths of the enemies of the Lord. But little children cannot argue and discuss. If they attempted, their reasoning is feeble, and the effect is painful, because it is unnatural for them, and out of place. What does naturally come from the mouths of children? Praise, gladsome praise, and joy. This is seemly, and is the power that can stop the mouths of enemies. This is not merely our conclusion. We have the words of the Lord for it. When the children cried in the temple, as Jesus entered it after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and said, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the priests were displeased, Jesus said to them, Have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings you have perfected praise? Thus we have Christ himself as authority for the statement that the power mentioned in the 8th Psalm is praise. It is difficult to frame an argument to which a shrewd man cannot make some plausible reply, a reply at least plausible enough to cover his retreat. But who can frame an argument against praise? There is nothing to reply to. Even the enemy's anger against the truth and the one who holds it must to some extent be appeased, because a soft answer turns away wrath. Then let us use the argument of praise more and more. Aye, let us learn how to use it to the exclusion of everything else. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. Praise the Lord, for it good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Who may praise the Lord? A strange question, some may say. Yes, it is a strange question, but not an unnecessary one, since there are many poor souls who do not dare praise the Lord, because they think that they are not good enough to do so. They pray to the Lord, the best they know how, and they have the most sincere desire to serve him, but they do not dare venture to praise him. Well, one sentence is enough to answer the question that we have asked, and it is this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise you the Lord. The poor, unworthy people may praise the Lord? Nay, not may, that is too feeble, they must. If you will persist in regarding the words, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, as merely a permission, and not as the commandment that it is, then read, O praise Jehovah, all you heathen, laud him all you nations, for his goodness rules powerfully over us, and Jehovah's faithfulness is ever enduring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah means, praise Jehovah. The very heathen, wickedest people in the world, are called upon to praise the Lord. Well, why not? They are the ones who most of all need to praise the Lord. The more wicked a man is, the more need there is that he should praise the Lord. If the heathen should praise the Lord, they would at once cease to be heathen. Praise is worship, and they who worship the Lord are righteous. So it is to the unworthy and the wicked that the command is specially directed. Praise you, Lord! The others are doing it already. Salvation and praise. We read these words of the Lord. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Of course the reader knows that the word conversation, as commonly used in the Bible, means way, manner of life, but there is more to be said about this verse. In the Hebrew text there are not nearly so many words as appear in the English, and if only the very words that appear in the Hebrew were translated, with no additions, we should have the text as indicated in the margin of the revised version thus. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and prepares a way that I may show him the salvation of God. Here, then, we have an answer to the question. What must I do to be saved? The answer is, praise the Lord. And what then? Keep on praising the Lord. He who begins to praise the Lord, and continues to praise him, will as surely be saved day by day and forever, as the sun shines in the heavens, or as God lives. Let us see how this may be. It is not difficult to understand. If one is thanking and praising the Lord, that one is certainly not sinning against him, is he? One cannot praise the Lord, and at the same time blaspheme his name, or in any way speak slightingly of him. The mere statement of the case proves it. He who praises the Lord serves him. The highest angels in heaven do no more than this. The living beings that are nearest to God, forming part of his throne, rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. Praise is the most natural thing. The fact that praise brings salvation will appear more vividly when we think of this phase of the subject, that praise is the easiest and most natural thing in the world. If all men, the ungodly man, would act in harmony even with their own standard of common civility, they would be continually praising the Lord, and would be saved. It is universally recognized that when a person receives a gift, he ought to thank the giver. The wickedest man, the one who will rage the most at the name of God, will thank you if you do him a favor. Hand an infidel any book that he wishes to read, or answer his inquiry as to the right road to take, and he will thank you. If he comes down to breakfast in the morning and finds a bouquet of fresh flowers at his plate, his first thought will be to ask who gave them to him, and his next will be to thank the one who so kindly remembered him. Every man will do these things, and there is no one who would not feel that it was a gross breach of politeness to fail to recognize favors bestowed. Very well, let each one simply be consistent. Let him not discriminate, and give thanks for some things, and neglect to do so for others. Above all things, let him not say, thank you, for little things, and say not a word for the greatest favors. Of course not. Who would be so foolish? Let us see. You come to the table, and find food. How did it come there? The good housewife placed it there, to be sure, but she did not make it. No man on earth could make a grain of corn. No man can make fruit grow from the ground. All that any man can do is to watch it. It is God that causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Is it seemly to take these things continually from the hand of the Lord, and never thank him for them? It is a great blessing, or favor, if you prefer to use that word, to be able to breathe. If you have never thought of it, you will realize it if you get into a close room where the air is almost used up, or have your lungs so filled up that you cannot breathe without pain. Now where do you get your breath? You do not make the air. Your neighbor does not furnish it to you. It comes regularly and continually, without any thought on your part. It comes when you are asleep, and not able to think of it. It is your life, the most necessary thing in the world, and yet you get it for nothing, absolutely free. Isn't it worth thanking for? And there is the light. You could not get along without it. It is life. Every day it comes new. Is it consistent to say, thank you, to one who hands you a flower, and never say a word to the one who creates the light and the air and the moisture that made it grow? Just be honorable and fair. Deal with God as justly, and treat him as civilly, as you do your fellow men. Render therefore to all their dues, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Begin with the first thing at hand, and thank the one who gives it to you, and do so with everything that you receive, and you will then be a perfect man. Come now, that is a fair proposition, isn't it? All that is required of you is to use ordinary civility, and give thanks impartially for all that you get, to whomsoever gives you them. Do this, and your mouth and heart will continually be filled with praise to the Lord, who gives to all life, and breath, and all things. When you once begin, you will find things enough to be thankful for. Do not cease giving thanks until you have exhausted everything that there is for which to give thanks. Remember that it is not enough to have thanked a person once for a favor, when he repeats it. If he does a thing for you twice, the thing to do is to thank him the second time, as well as the first. If he does not tire of repeating the favor, surely you ought not to tire of thanking him for it. The gift of life and light and breath and all things is continuous, and therefore the thanksgiving must be continuous. I will not urge you to do this heartily. No matter how you feel about it, simply recognize the Lord and his gifts, and have this ability to thank him for what you receive of him. Do this, and the greatness of the gifts received from him will impress itself more and more upon your mind, so that soon thanks will come spontaneously, and you will not know how to stop. Then all will be well with you, for when you acknowledge that every breath that you breathe you get from him, you will see that he is your life, and the same rule of fairness that led you to thank him for what he gives will lead you to allow him to control his own life. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When God directs your steps in his own way, your way will be right, for as for God, his way is perfect. Then, oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor, and girded with praise. Your bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and gently distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.